from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he had at this point in his earthly ministry taken his disciples north of Galilee in order to get away from all the badgering of the scribes and Pharisees in Jerusalem. And in our gospel reading today, Jesus and the disciples traveled east from Tyre and Sidon into the area around Caesarea Philippi. This is still in Gentile territory, just north of Galilee. And our Lord would soon reveal to the disciples why he had come to earth and his mission as the very Son of God. So Jesus had used this time away from the crowds in Galilee to teach his disciples. Today's lesson was then about the true identity of Jesus. Just who Jesus the Christ is. But who is he? Jesus opened the topic of discussion by asking the disciples about the belief of the crowds. You know, what have you heard? Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. It's kind of interesting that all of the guesses that they made were of dead prophets. Herod had just recently killed John the Baptist. Elijah had been taken up in a whirlwind hundreds of years earlier. Jeremiah had disappeared into Egypt after the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem. And now, people thought that Jesus was one of these dead prophets. Come back to life. You know, I kind of wondered, and I think somebody's maybe done this, but what if you went to a busy mall or shopping center and you just kind of took an impromptu poll of the people and asked people, who is Jesus? And what kind of responses would you get? I'd wager that some would say he's a community organizer, like a life coach. Maybe a great teacher. Some of the crowd, maybe some who are spiritual, might regard Jesus as some great guru who was able to tap into Christ's consciousness that dwells in all of us. And others may regard Jesus as this rather lenient personality who pretty much lets you do whatever you want to do, as long as nobody gets hurt. I'm sure you've heard someone say, hey, nobody's getting hurt, so what's wrong with it? Why not? Well, there were many opinions back in our Lord's day, just as there is today. There's still a lot of different opinions. The problem with opinions is that opinions are based on guesswork, and, well, they're usually wrong. Opinions about who Jesus is are no exception. People who guess about Jesus' identity will undoubtedly get it wrong. The really sad thing about this, when you get the identity of Jesus wrong, you get everything wrong about salvation. That's important. You can talk like a Christian and fool a lot of people into thinking that you're a Christian. But in the end, it's going to be you who will enter into eternal punishment when he comes to separate the sheep and the goats. It's essential for us to get the identity of Jesus right in order to get your salvation right. There's only one good, true answer. And we heard it from Simon Peter, of all people, Peter. Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." This is the right answer back then, and it's still the right answer today. But what does it mean to say that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? I did this with the kids yesterday. But what does that mean? Okay. Well, what does that mean? All right. Well, Jesus knew that the disciples wouldn't know the answer to the question until after he had suffered, died, and rose from the dead. That's the reason Jesus gave that odd little instruction at the end of our gospel reading today when he strictly charged the disciples not to tell anyone and tell no one that he was the Christ. He didn't want the disciples to teach the wrong understanding of what it means to be the Christ. The title Christ comes from a Greek word meaning to anoint. The Hebrew equivalent is the word Messiah. So we can say Christ, we can say Messiah, we can say the Anointed One, and they would all mean the same thing. Anointing was a rite for setting someone aside for a special office, a special position. In the Old Testament, Aaron was anointed as a priest. David, he was anointed as a king. And Elijah anointed Elisha to be the prophet after him. The anointed offices of the Old Testament are prophet, priest, and king. As the Anointed One, Jesus fulfilled all of these offices, prophet, priest, and king. Jesus is the prophet appointed, anointed by God. It's easy to see Jesus as a prophet when we realize what a prophet is and who Jesus is. A prophet is someone who speaks for God. Jesus is both 100% human and he's 100% God. So who better to speak for God but himself? Pretty good. Well, this makes Jesus the ultimate prophet. But Jesus went above and beyond the role of any normal prophet. God had made many promises through the prophets down through the ages. As prophet, Jesus himself made many promises. And Jesus went beyond the role of prophet because he didn't just speak the promises of God, but he also keeps the promises of God made through the mouth of the prophets of long ago. So Jesus is king, anointed by God. As God also reigns over all things, that makes him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's by the reign of his power that all things exist and have their being. It's by the reign of his grace that he brings forgiveness to his church on earth. And it's by the reign of his glory that he leads his church into eternity. So here too, Jesus serves above and beyond any other king. As king, he establishes the law of his kingdom. But Jesus went beyond the role of king. Even though the king rules, even with the law, Jesus humbled himself in obedience to the law. He not only kept the law for himself, but he also kept the law perfectly in our place. And Jesus is then also the priest anointed by God. The priest represents the people before God. Who better to represent humanity before God than the one who is both God and man? In fact, Jesus is the only one truly qualified to be our priest. All the other priests in the Old Testament were merely shadows of who pointed forward to the true high priest, Jesus, the anointed one. And once again, Jesus went beyond the role of priest. The priests of the Old Testament offered up sacrifices before God. Jesus offered up himself as the once-for-all sacrifice that truly takes away all the sin of the world. It's at the cross on Calvary that we see what it means to be the Christ. There on the cross is the Christ sacrificing himself for the sins of the whole world. With his suffering and death upon the cross, Christ has overcome sin. Since death relies on sin, Christ has also defeated death. Resurrection must follow the victory that Christ won for us upon the cross. It is with his resurrection from the grave that Jesus finished showing the disciples, and he showed me and you, what it means to be the Christ. It's after the resurrection that Jesus opened up his disciples' minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead." It's with this complete picture of Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection that we have a complete picture of what it means to be the Christ. It is with this complete picture that we begin to understand Peter's confession. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So, I'm going to ask all of you, who do you say Jesus is? The Apostle Peter, he didn't dream up his confession all on his own. Jesus said that the Father in heaven had given this confession to Peter. This confession is so reliable that it's the foundation of Christ's church today. Jesus continued speaking and said, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This confession is solid. It's solid like a rock. And it tells us who Jesus is and what Jesus did. Today we heard Peter's confession as it's recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew. We too can proclaim this confession in our words and in our hymns that we sing here in church. We can proclaim that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Since we live in a time after the resurrection of our Lord, we can know that the Christ is the one who lived a perfect life for us, carried our sins upon the cross, and rose from the dead in order to take away our sin and give us his righteousness. We who have faith in Jesus as the Christ, we have a relationship with God that will last forever. Jesus promised that he would always dwell within us while we live here on this earth. He has also promised that we who believe will live with him forever when we leave this world. And because it comes from God the Father Almighty, we know that it's the truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.